Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to SRF Limited Q1 FY21 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Jain.
Thank you, Nirav. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us on SRF Limited's Quarter 1 FY21 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Rahul Jain, President and Chief Financial Officer, SRF Limited. I would like to invite Ms. Nitika Dhawan, Head of Corporate Communication of SRF, to initiate proceedings for SRF conference. Over to you, Nitika.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on SRF Limited's Quarter 1 FY21 results conference call. We will begin this call with brief opening remarks from our President and CFO, Mr. Rahul Jain, following which we will open the forum for an interactive question-and-answer session. Before we begin this call, I would like to point out that some statements made in this call may be forward-looking, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Jain to make his opening remarks.
Thank you, Nitika, and good afternoon, everyone. I would like to extend a warm welcome to all of you, and thank you for joining us today on SRF's Q1 FY21 results discussion. I hope you, your team, and loved ones are safe and in good health. I will initiate the call by briefly taking you through the key operational highlights for the quarter gone by, following which we will open the forum to have a detailed Q&A session. I am glad to share that SRF Limited delivered an encouraging performance during the quarter under review, despite each business facing its own set of challenges. In Q1 FY21, our consolidated revenues were lower by 12% year-on-year at 1,545 crore. We did face disruption in operations due to the lockdown, which adversely affected our overall performance. We were, however, able to resume operations in a calibrated manner in our businesses after having all requisite approvals in place and taking into account all prescribed safety measures. However, some businesses took more time in resuming operations, which is being discussed in the business-wise performance. Due to the agility of our team, we were able to stabilize the supply chain and distribution operations to support our customers' requirements efficiently. Despite lower revenues, EBIT and PAT for the quarter were stable at 295 crore and 177 crore, respectively. I am also pleased to share that the Board of Directors has approved an interim dividend at the rate of 50%, amounting to rupees 5 per share. This will result in a cash outflow of 28.74 crores. Let me now share an update on the segmental performance, beginning with our chemicals business, which comprises of fluorochemicals and specialty chemicals businesses. During the quarter, our specialty chemicals business recorded robust performance despite COVID-19 pandemic. Demand scenario remained healthy, leading to faster ramp-up of capacities. Our ongoing efforts to commercialize molecules for both the agro and pharma segment are very well on track. As discussed earlier, we are confident of registering the growth numbers that we had indicated in our previous calls. Also, on a full-year basis, we should be able to make up and meet all our customer requirements despite the impact of the lockdown during the quarter under review. During the quarter, we also launched one new product in the pharma category, and we continue to maintain a strong product pipeline, which augurs well for the future growth of the business. Overall, while there were logistical challenges, we recorded a healthy uptake as the demand for specialty chemicals continues to remain strong. the world first started looking outside China about 3 to 4 years ago due to lack of transparency, IPR management, and several other factors. It was at that point that companies began looking for business partners and suppliers who incorporated environmentally responsible operations and sound business practices in their manufacturing processes. Companies are increasingly looking to de-risk their supply chains, which have been fairly dependent on China in certain cases. In addition, the specialized chemistry talent available in India is another factor that can drive the growth of the chemical sector. Post-COVID-19, we see an opportunity for the chemical industry in India to show significant growth. Having said that, it will depend on each company in India as to how they leverage this opportunity. Plus, a lot will depend on how we can speed up the regulatory approval processes as well. You would remember that the board had approved a proposal to set up dedicated facilities at a cost of Rs. 238 crore in February 2020. We have now realigned the capex to meet the revised demand projections of the customers, and churning of products between dedicated plants and the multipurpose plants will continue. Coming on to the fluorochemicals business, it delivered a subdued performance during the quarter as sales of automobiles and white goods were severely affected, which particularly impacted the refrigerant segment. Margins were impacted due to lower fixed cost absorption, both on account of lower sales and newly commissioned HFC facilities, which are in the ramp-up phase. We did see significant lower HFC sales volumes to the OEMs in the auto segment. Given the worst slump witnessed in the auto sector in recent times and COVID-related plant closures, you would also recall that the ref gas business has an element of summer-related seasonality, due to which Q1 is typically the most important quarter for the business. However, due to COVID-19 pandemic, sales and production were impacted. We do believe that as we recover from the pandemic, sales and margins for the business will be back on its growth path. Also, during the meeting held yesterday, the board approved setting up of an additional facility to produce about 95,000 metric tons per annum of chloromethanes at Dahej at a projected cost of roughly about 315 crore. This will take our total capacity to above 190,000 metric tons, making SRF a global player in chloromethanes, which are also key raw materials for ref gases. Homegrown technology provides swing advantages between co-products. We look at this product as an integral part of our larger vision to be a key player in the global chemical industry. Certain key cost advantages of integrated manufacturing processes, captive use of chloroform, technological ability, and economies of scale will add to our position in the global market. You would remember that the board had also approved setting up of an integrated PTFE plant at a cost of 424 crore in August 2019. Due to the global economic environment, the setting up of the PTFE plant has been delayed by approximately 1 year. The cash flows are balanced in FY21 as the PTFE project is being deferred and the chloromethanes project is being implemented. We have also sanctioned an investment of Rs. 140 crore for enhancing the steam and power requirements at the Dahej to cater to our present and future requirements. Moving on to our packaging films business, the segment delivered robust results in a challenging period, augmenting the overall performance of the company. This was driven by consistent demand for both BOPET and BOPP films, leading to enhanced realizations. While domestic demand was weak, our marketing teams were able to swiftly engage with our international customers and were able to ramp up our exports. The segment did not have any major disruptions during the quarter, as it came under the essential goods value chain. And our teams were able to obtain requisite clearances for plant operations post-lockdown in an expeditious manner. Our focus on sales of value-added products further contributed to the overall performance. Our second BOPET film line at our facility in Rayong, Thailand, was commissioned successfully during the beginning of the quarter. It was a first-of-its-kind online commissioning demonstrating ability of our teams, process capability and technological ability. This will help enhance volumes as the year progresses and plant fully ramps up. We also would like to inform that our new site in Hungary was delayed due to COVID-19, but we expect the line to be commissioned shortly. The expected capitalization of the plant in Hungary will further boost volumes during the current fiscal. However, from a marketing perspective, as inventory stocking reduces and as we come out of the pandemic, there may be some impact on demand and thereby related margins going forward. And some margin decline is likely in H2 FY21. Overall, we expect the demand for hygienic packaging to remain strong and in the post-COVID-19 scenario, business delivering robust results. Coming to our technical textiles business, this segment was probably the worst affected due to the COVID-19 and a sharp slowdown in auto sales and a weak domestic demand for tires. The belting fabrics and the polyester yarn segments delivered stable performance, contributing positively to the overall performance. Our TTB manufacturing facilities remained closed during the lockdown, some due to restrictions imposed by local authorities and some due to closure of plants of the customers, that is, the tire manufacturers. This lockdown period was efficiently utilized to carry out plant maintenance activities that led to further enhancement of operational excellence parameters. Better demand across all segments was witnessed from June 2020 and continues. Further, we expect an uptick in sales with an improving demand scenario towards the end of the second quarter, which in turn should stabilize the performance in the second half of the fiscal. Imports of competing products from China have also been facing certain headwinds, and removal of certain types of tires from the OGL list is likely to further strengthen the domestic demand. Coming to our other business segment, in coated fabrics, markets have shown signs of recovery with demand beginning to pick up from June 2020 onwards. Q1 is traditionally the peak season for this business, which has also helped in gaining some momentum. While the laminated fabrics manufacturing facility at Kashipur remained closed during the lockdown, we will continue to focus on development of eco-friendly material, which serves as a replacement to fabrics. On to our balance sheet and the overall position. The company ensured liquidity through various term facilities, money market operations, and debt management during the quarter. Efficient liquidity measures led to lower interest costs and higher interest incomes. This also ensured business continuity in difficult times. The company has not availed any moratorium and ensured all payments that were due and payable either to financial institutions or its vendors have been serviced in a timely manner. Thus, the liquidity position remains strong and healthy, and recently the ratings of the company have been reaffirmed by both CRISIL and India Ratings. During the current financial year, strong operating cash flows, working capital management and reduced interest costs are likely to result in lower debt levels and improved financial leverage and coverage parameters. Through our CSR wing, SRF Foundation, we continue to work towards alleviating the sufferings of the community. SRF Foundation has been implementing COVID-19 relief work by donating health and safety equipment, food and other essential items. We supported the local administration across 8 manufacturing sites, aiding 23,000 plus individuals and families. We provided monetary support to NGOs working in areas of livelihood, healthcare and child rights, and to hospitals with dedicated COVID-19 wards. In addition, educational support to students studying in intervention schools by transitioning to online platforms and launching initiatives like the digital summer camps, etc., were undertaken. We also collaborated with Arogya Seva and distributed 32,000 sanitary napkins to 2,000 women residing in slum area of Kadugodi, Bengaluru, while creating awareness on health and hygiene. To conclude, I would like to state that despite the ongoing challenges in some of our businesses, we have built a renowned multi-business entity over the years. This has enabled us to overcome the current unprecedented environment. Our strategic innovations led by a robust R&D have helped the company challenge external uncertainties. With a robust infrastructure in place, superior R&D capabilities, we are hopeful of delivering a healthy performance and deliver value to all its stakeholders going forward. On that note, I conclude my remarks and would be happy to discuss any questions, comments or suggestions that you may have. I would now like to ask the moderator to open the line for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one. First question is from the line of Vihang from Samsung Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So firstly, on the chemical segment, what I wanted to know that was that you reiterated that you maintain your guidance for the agro side of the piece. Would you like around this to reiterate? You said around, I think, 40% or 50% top line growth. So just that, and if you reiterate that guidance, and on the ref side within the chemicals business, could you give some color on how has the growth been impacted because of auto and white goods, and how are you looking at, like, on a full year basis, do you think you would still be able to grow within that?
So, Rihan, two things. The first is that I never said 40 to 50% growth. That was the last year comment. This year, we are saying that with the enhanced base of the specialty chemical business, which is roughly about 1600 crores, we are expecting a 20 to 25% growth in the specialty chemicals business. On the fluorochemicals business, I would say that the growth will be driven by ramping up of the facilities on HFC that have recently been commissioned, probably somewhere in October 19. And once they ramp up fully, we will see volume and value-related growth coming through from that. How much of that would be this year? We've never commented on it, and we would like to remain like that on that one as well.
Despite the impact of, like, auto and white goods, you're saying the ref piece would still grow because of capacity commissioning and everything, right?
As capacity commissioning that had happened, yes, we believe that there is still a possibility in the next three quarters on an overall basis for the business to grow.
Okay, got it. And on the margin side, it would be safe to assume that basically the 13% would be primarily driven by underutilization because of the auto white goods impact, and it would kind of go back to the 18-20% guidance that given?
Again, the chemicals business is a composite of both the specialty chemicals business and the fluorochemicals business. Now, I would say to a certain extent what you are saying is right, that as the sales ramp up happens, the fixed cost absorption should be better, and therefore the operating leverage should play out to give us better margins. How much will that be is something that only time can tell.
Got it. And just the second question I had was on packaging films. If you had mentioned that on 2H, you would expect some sort of margin pressure. So if you could just highlight how exactly the margins are looking like based on the demand supply situation that you are seeing for the current year and, you know, for probably next year as well.
Again, I would say that during the Q1, you've seen the kind of margins that have come through, right? Q2, we believe there is still some positive on that side that remains in terms of people coming back and ramping up their production. Some of these production capacities have not fully ramped up due to COVID, while we were able to ramp it up very, very fast. So to that extent, there is some benefit available still in Q2. But as new lines come up fully and the ramp-up of the existing facilities happen after COVID, we believe that there would be some erosion in margins that would happen. Again, that's all that I can
comment.
How much of a percentage margin
was
in H2 is difficult to comment.
Do you take the margin pressure from the current levels of 33%, or do you expect because last year 2H margins was I think around 20 to 23%. So that's what I was asking, ki, do you expect the 30% to go there or do you kind of expect the 23% also to go lower?
I don't believe that I am in a position to give you a percentage number. I am saying there will be margin that will get lower. Whether it remains between the 22 to the 33% range, only the market will tell at that point in time. Yes, there will be some erosion. Whether it will be that much is difficult to comment as of now.
Okay, sure. And just if I could squeeze one last one on the chloromethanes expansion, if you could just clarify how much exactly the capacity you're increasing by and how are you sort of looking at the, what is the rationale behind this expansion in terms of like what demand for this product you're seeing?
So essentially within the chloromethanes range, there are three products, MDC, CTC and chloroform. Each of these, out of these three, the total capacity that we are putting up is about 100,000 tons. So each of them are co-produced. Both MDC and CTC are saleable products and even till date are imported in India. And therefore, we believe it offers a very large import substitution possibility. Our own homegrown technology gives us the ability to switch between the products. The MDC could range between 35 to 50%, 55%. CTC can be increased from a general level of 10% to 15-20%. And the chloroform is the balance. So to that extent, we believe our ability to swing the plant and be able to produce what the market is needing at that point in time gives us great ability in the chloromethane space.
Any asset turns for this expansion?
I have not looked at it, so unable to comment.
Okay, that's it, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Tanav Garwal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. I have the following three questions. The first one, if I look at your chemicals SBU and considering the industry-wide performance as was mentioned by you also, both in your fluorochemicals business and your commentary on specialty chemicals, one gets a sense that your mix in the segment must have been significantly skewed in favor of specialty chemicals this quarter. Yet, when I look at your margins, I was a little baffled to see a dent in your profitability margins. Because, you know, the fall in your fluorochemicals business was more than adequately made up by the rise in spec chem revenues. So, I'm just trying to figure out, was, is it all only on account of new HFC plant and lower offtake, because your spec chem has more than made up for it. So logically, your margins should have expanded by a significant level.
See, the point is, I think you are comparing Q4 to Q1. I think you are, that's the error that is happening. You should look at Q1 versus Q1. You will see both a margin expansion happening and also you will see a value expansion happening in EBIT terms. So that's probably what I would like to say. Also, I would not say that the specialty chemicals was completely, let's say, isolated from the COVID-19 pandemic. Had there been no pandemic, we would have had even better sales than this, both in the fluorochemicals business and the specialty chemicals business.
If I am comparing it to the June 19 quarter,
there is a margin expansion that has happened.
Yeah, sir, I'm comparing it from the June 19 quarter. So margin in June 19 in chemical segment was 13%. And in June 20, it's 12.6%. And if I recall correctly, June 19 was a weak base for us because of a shutdown in Dahej.
Yeah, I'm again saying we're talking about 40 basis points. In Q1 last year, there was no commissioning of the HFCs that had happened. HFCs commissioned in October, which was probably in Q3 of last year.
But sir, it was under a shutdown.
That at that point in time, the HFC sales were very, very strong.
Okay. So the second question is, when you say you've launched a new product in this quarter, what does it mean? Does it mean that quantities of the product have been contracted by the pharma customers and we should see offtake of this molecule going forward?
So when I say we have launched the product, we supplied qualification lots, and the qualification lots have been approved. A contracting of that product will get done over a period of time.
Got it. And to the last question, in your packaging business, we see absolute growth in your EBIT. So did your spread per ton increase or volume offtake was higher, or was it a mix of both?
In fact, I would say volume offtake was flat. The overall piece, I would say the value-added products were higher than last year and even for that matter last quarter. And therefore, there has been an expansion in the way the industry is. You would also have seen the fact that over Q1 last year, the sales were lower. So roughly a small amount, but still lower, which was essentially because of the key raw materials prices going down. However, the negativity on the conversion margin was much lower. So to that extent, we had a positive in terms of the costs going down more than the price going down.
Got it. So your absolute spread per ton increased because of...
Which we call the conversion margin, that increased.
Yeah, got it. Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Rohit Sinha from MK Global. For the participant line drop. Next question is from Ritesh Gupta from Ambit. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to get a sense on the new lines that are being added on packaging films. I understand, the guidance on the margin bit is not possible, but, 33% is clearly much higher. And it's a deja vu of 2011 in some sense, because after 2011, we almost took 3-4 years to come back. I understand there was a chewing tobacco issue, etc. at that time. But just want to get a sense that could this kind of margins trigger significant supplies? And you have historically said that there are two suppliers. You have some sense on the supplies that are coming in. So if you could just elaborate a bit on the supply side, additions on the both BOPET and PPP. That would be very helpful, sir.
So, Ritesh, yes, what you are saying is right in terms of 2011, 2010, where a lot of lines got added. I would say these type of margins would encourage people to put up more lines. But given the current state of affairs, we believe new lines can come up only in an 18 to 24 month time frame. We have also put up the BOPET line in Thailand, and the Hungary line in Thailand is also coming up. So all of those things are happening. There are other lines that are in the process. Some will get commissioned in the next, let's say, 6 months to about 8 months. But given the current, so one thing that has changed fundamentally from that time, I think, is also because of the pandemic, where the demand for hygienic packaging has gone up very, very significantly. And to that extent, this should continue for a longer period of time. I would also say that the sustainability angle of it is also something that we are working very closely with. And therefore, multiple value-added products and multiple products that are kind of monolayer structures are also being put up by us, which give us the advantage and a first-mover advantage in the industry, for that matter, Ritesh.
Understood. But any quantification in terms of how much is the supply increase and what kind of demand increase you might have seen just because of COVID? Any broad sense?
Overall, in terms of COVID?
Yeah, I mean, any...
COVID also had various impacts on various types of producers. Some were able to start up quickly, some were not able to start up quickly. And therefore, also, was a demand-supply gap that got created. We believe that in Q2 and H2, all of these, if the pandemic does go away faster, will start up and there will be more supply available. And therefore is what we are guiding in terms of H2 margins being slightly lower or lower than H1 margins.
Understood, sir. The only challenge is that we have a range of 14%, which you did, let's say, 1.5 years back, to 33% that you have done this quarter. So that marginal is a very, very long range for us. But nonetheless, that's helpful. The second on the...
You should be happy, right?
Sure. Thank you. Just one more question, sir. on the margin side for chemicals also, I understand that last year you had plant closures, etc., and I think the impact of plant closures in quarter one last year was much more than what you probably had this quarter. And to that extent, I would have expected margins to improve a little bit also because specialty would have grown reasonably well because last year's first quarter base was also pretty soft. So how do I understand the margins being flat? I know the previous participant also asked it. But is there a drop in the realization or EBITDA per ton for so is the refrigerant, how sharp is the margin drop? Because I would understand it would be gross margin drop, operating leverage drop, and volume drop all three. So can you guide us, like, what kind of specialty chemical EBIT margins you might have done at a very rough level? Would it be flat?
You are aware that we don't distinguish. And again, it's not on a quarter-on-quarter basis that we would like to look at the business. So it's unfair to be giving you breakup of margins for the quarter. So it's also an integrated business, you have to understand. So I won't be in a position to give you a breakup of either revenues or margins. What I can only tell you is that overall, the specialty chemicals business did very well despite the pandemic. And yes, what you are saying is right, that during Q1 FY20, there was a larger impact on the business because of the whole shutdown that had happened. It goes through some impact on, let's say, because of the pandemic this quarter also. And had the pandemic not been there, we would have done even better than what.
Understood. Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first question on the R&D initiatives that we have been taking. There is a recent uptake in terms of trends as well as the molecules that are under synthesis for us. And as I understand, this R&D is both for chemical as well as the packaging film. So just your sense on how should one look at it, especially from a chemical business perspective. And a related question to it, that how much contribution, incremental, let's say, revenue contribution comes from the newer products and the older products there?
Ankur, I would say that we always give that information out in our quarterly presentation in terms of what are the patents that we have filed. I think during the quarter, there were three patents that were granted to us, all work of our in-house R&D. We believe that there will be more such products and process patents, if not products, at least process patents that we will keep filing. And therefore, be distinguishing ourselves from the industry in terms of our overall performance. So that's something that's a core belief with us. We believe that the R&D spend is something that we will continuously look at and keep increasing depending upon the requirements for the future.
No, sir. Actually, so let me rephrase it. So my question was that if I look at our molecules under synthesis over the last maybe 3 to 5 years, there has been a decent jump in terms of absolute molecules on which we are working. And as I understand from the annual report, we are working on both chlorinated as well as the non-chlorinated one. So my question exactly here was that how should one look at the chemical business growth? Historically, you have guided, and I'm not talking FY21 specific, but more from a 2-3 year perspective. By when should these molecules be seen as a incremental contribution to the revenue growth from the chemical business?
Look at our revenue mix. Over the last 5 years, you will find that all of the new molecules that we have launched are a result of our own R&D, and therefore, the revenue mix has changed over a period of time. We believe that the revenue mix of the company will keep changing over a period of time as we add more molecules into the campaigns and dedicated plants for the specialty chemicals business. My sense is that over a period of time, you will see at least 3 to 4 products being launched on a yearly basis. Some of those will get converted into dedicated plants.
Okay, helpful. And just second question, while you did allude on the chemical margins front, but given ref gas was weaker Q1, there will be a ramp-up of the newer plant starting H2, and chemical has been doing decent for us. From a full-year perspective, do you think there is a margin expansion there?
Again, Ankur, it's the same question that I answered even in the comment and probably to the last person as well. as the operating leverage plays out, there should be a margin expansion that should happen, and that is something which will be true both for the fluorochemicals business and the specialty chemicals business. But look at the numbers from a Q-on-Q basis or from the fact that we were living in very, very uncertain times, you will find enhancement that is happening between corresponding period last year. So that is something that we believe can continue and should continue.
Okay, great, sir. Thanks a lot and all the best. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Surya Patra from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congrats for the good set of numbers, sir.
Surya, can you be a bit more clearer? I am unable
to hear you. Okay. So now is it fine, sir? Yeah. So just wanted to understand, I think, on the chemical business front, if I compare the last quarter, corresponding previous quarter period margin, and this quarter margin, see, the corresponding previous quarter was impacted by few days of shutdown. Whereas this quarter, we have seen a larger number of almost a month kind of shutdown. So still, this quarter performance seems much better compared to that scenario. So what is here helping this quarter, sir, on the margin front for the chemical business?
The fact is that the shutdown last month was a more prolonged shutdown. Here, while the shutdown had happened at the end of March, some of that impact went into March. And from the first week of April, the ramp-up started happening in a calibrated manner. So not all plants started on one day, but by the end of April, almost all of the haze was back. Bhiwadi took some more time to be back. But largely, I think it is the haze piece. We saw that ramp up very, very significantly during, let's say, the first month of the quarter.
Yes. Okay. Secondly, sir, on the packaging film business, whether now it is already 1 month over after the June quarter, so whether the normalization in the spread in the packaging film business has already happened,
I cannot give you what happened in July. I can only tell you what happened in June.
Okay. But in that case, the related question on that, sir. So that means we would not have seen any inventory loss this quarter, and which possibly could be a scenario this quarter, right?
In the packaging film business or in the technical textiles business?
No, in the packaging film business, sir.
There would have been some, but again, with the numbers that I've registered,
Okay. And just on the net debt to EBITDA scenario, sir. See, we have seen a kind of significant business progress over last few year, and also simultaneously even consistently been investing for growth. So that is how our net debt to EBITDA equation has been consistently in the range of 2.5 around. So going ahead over, let's say, over next 3 to 5 year period, what is the kind of directional indication that you can provide?
Directionally, Surya, I believe the net debt to EBITDA should be coming down. We believe, as I said in the commentary also, that the financial leverage parameters by the end of this financial year should improve on two counts. One, being higher EBITDA than last year. And second, with not all of the cash that we generate getting invested, some of it getting to pairing of debt, the overall number should be lower. I would probably look at net debt to EBITDA between a range of 1.5 to 2.25 as a standard debt to EBITDA that we would like to maintain. But again, in heavy capex scenario, it goes off a bit. And in scenarios where the capex is a bit light, it goes beyond that also. But as a philosophy, we would like to keep it in that range.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Patra. I'll request you to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. I request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. Next participant is Abhijit Akela from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. And good afternoon, Rahulji.
Good afternoon, Abhijit.
Just a clarification regarding the outlook given for the fluorochemicals business. You've mentioned in the presentation that in the second half, you expect some recovery in international demand for HFCs. So if you could just talk a little bit about what exactly you're seeing there and why this might happen.
Again, geopolitical considerations between US and China are going on. There are a lot of inquiries that we are receiving for HFC demand, which starts probably at the end of Q2, so end of September, October, which is probably the season that they are looking at from November to March perspective, because there is a long lead time there. So given the set of inquiries, given the set of the customers wanting more product from us, is where we are saying that H2 could be better than H1, and the demand could be very robust on that side.
Okay, great. That's helpful. And second question is just if you could give us an updated timeline for the Hungary project. And then, one last thing I'll squeeze in. The 140 crore capex, if you could just clarify what exactly it is for, the steam and power cost reduction on the edge. Thanks a lot.
So, Abhijit, Hungary has got delayed. There is no doubt on that. But more because of the travel restrictions that have been imposed locally in Europe, we believe you should hear an announcement in the next 7-10 days max, where the Hungary project should be capitalized. Trial runs have already happened. Machine testing is going on. Engineers are on site. All of that is in place. Hopefully, sooner we will see, probably be doing commercial production. Approvals are already in place. So that's the state of the Hungary project. But I will also look to warn you to say that in Europe, it will take more time for the project to ramp up because of the fact that the approval process in Europe is let's say, slightly stricter and probably not as fast as let's say, an Indian line. So it will take some more time, but we are still in good shape on that one as well. The second question that you asked was with respect to the steam and power capex of 140 crore. See, essentially, we believe by, when the new plants on the chloromethanes and all of these are coming up, the overall requirement of steam and power is going down. Overall requirement, availability of steam and power is coming down, and therefore we had to augment the capacity. The more requirement in this is actually of steam. So this power plant, this plant gives me about 175 tons per hour of steam and about 15 megawatt of incremental power, which would keep us in good stead for probably till 24.
Great. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best, Rahul.
Thank you, Abhijit.
Thank you very much. Next participant is Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi Rahul. My question is regarding packaging film business. So we have seen a margin expansion in packaging film in 6 consecutive quarter, YOY I'm talking about. And your commentary says the supply demand is going to impact margin in every 3-4 quarters you are giving the guidance. But the higher value added product growth and contribution has driven the margin, and also this quarter you said the spread is higher. So what is the scenario going forward for the demand supply, what you were negative on margin side or decline in the margin side?
Again, I think I already commented on this, Suman. Fact of the matter is that Q1 we have done well. Multiple factors of it, COVID was one of the factors. We believe that we were able to start up our plants faster than some of our competition. Domestic demand remained weak. We were able to actually ramp up we were able to ensure that all our plants were running to full capacity despite low domestic demand, and were able to ramp up our exports. So all of those were positives. But as more plants start running, as more capacity starts kicking in, as more as we get out of the pandemic, also what was happening was that the inventory requirements and people looking to procure inventory for their production was very high. And as that goes down a bit, there may be some demand and supply mismatch that happens. And therefore, we are saying that while Q2 should be pretty much all right, there may be a slight negative that we see on H2. Don't ask me to quantify the slight. It could be 2 percentage points, it could be 5, it could be 10, I don't know.
Okay. And what is the capex for FY21?
Overall capex?
Yes.
overall CapEx FY21 about 12 to 1300 crores, putting into account overseas, India, everything in check. Some of it will get delayed, some of the new ones will come up, like PTFE is getting delayed while chloromethanes is coming in. We are putting up the new 140 crore on the steam and power, the 238 crore on the specialty chemicals, all of that coming in. The Hungary line, the Thailand resin, all of that.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Security.
Thanks for taking the question, sir. On the presentation, in the spec chem business, you mentioned about realigning CapEx to meet revised demand projections. Can you just help us understand what exactly does it, what revise? So is there been a pickup in sort of customer demand through the quarters that you're really referring to, or what exactly are we talking about here?
So essentially what we are saying is that because of the current situation, some of the customers are actually looking to get a different set of products, and therefore we are looking to realign the CapEx where some of the capacities have been tweaked to give new products, and some capacities have been shifted to multipurposes. So that's what's happened.
Oh, okay. But sir, is it having an aggregate impact on the demand from what you've seen in this whole COVID impact, aggregate demand?
It is more positive than negative.
Okay. And then secondly, on you mentioned about one pharma intermediate getting commissioned this quarter, and you talked about in the annual report about three of them getting commissioned last year. So in general, has there been a pickup in the contribution of pharma to the overall business, and in terms of the products getting commercialized, and more in terms of the pipeline that you're working on with respect to pharma products?
Yes and no. Yes, to the extent that pharma pickup has happened, there are more pharma products that we do probably than compared to 3 years ago. But the pickup in the, when you look at it from an overall perspective, agro has also grown at a very fast pace, and therefore the mix has remained there or thereabouts only. Let's say within 15 to 20% for pharma and the balance 80 to 85% as agro. So while let's say the overall pharma's percentage is higher, from a revenue to revenue perspective, but because agro has also grown, the mix remains the same. Again, I've been saying this as the mix over a period of time, right? But you look at the sale number has grown. So it means that the pharma and agro both have grown.
Right. And sir, is there any, from whatever that you see in the pipeline, what would be your guess on how this ratio sort of plays out over the next 3 to 5 year period?
Again, even last time we had commented on this, fact is that we believe that the opportunity in agro is still very significant. While pharma will keep growing, agro's growth, we are not tapering down for want of more pharma.
Okay, and then lastly, on in the annual report, you talked a whole lot about incremental investments and efforts going towards building non-fluoro chemistry capabilities. So, I mean, qualitatively, what kind of business, what kind of incremental opportunities does this really present for us going forward?
See, again, the opportunity is in the agro and more in the agro space from that side. And again, you know that about 3 or 4 existing products are completely non-fluorine. Again, we said that our intent is to become more chemistry-oriented rather than fluorine-oriented. And therefore, we believe this is an opportunity that we want to take up. Quantifying that opportunity today, to be saying that we are looking at a $2 billion pie or a $5 billion pie is very, very difficult to say. What I can only say is that the overall commentary is actually skewed towards growth in all the products that we are doing and related products that we are doing with our existing customer base.
Okay, sir. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from Chandramouli from Patterson Security. Please go ahead.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hello. So what is the current capacity utilization of our new Thailand plant, which got commissioned last month, 2 months back?
Which one?
The new Bopet plant in Thailand.
Bopet only got commissioned in the mid of April, right? So it is in the ramp-up phase. I would say that it is probably producing about 60-70% of them on a month-on-month basis.
Okay. How is it shaping also? And will you expect the optimal
capacity utilization? As I said in the commentary also, we believe that the ramp-up can be pretty quick.
Okay. When is the new boat line coming up?
12 months, we believe it can be ramped up to full capacity.
Okay. What about the BOPP line? When is it expected to?
BOPP line in South Africa, India, where?
No, Thailand, there is one coming, right? BOPP.
That's in process. I think the timeline for that is probably October 22. It's on track as of now. Sorry, October 21.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next participant is Amar Maurya from Alpha Curate. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Rahulji, hope everything is fine at your end.
All well, Amar. So much.
Yeah. Sir, if you can help us understand how the utilization for R-gas, chloromethane, and your technical textile would have in this particular quarter?
Again, as I said, R-gas ramped up, started to production in Dahej probably by the end of April, early May. Right, so capacity utilization remained very low. Also, you are aware that the auto sector has completely died down. I believe that the production of cars went down and anywhere between 60-70% during the quarter. Because of that, there was no logic in producing. So to that extent, the sales were lower. By June end, we were seeing a lot of secondary demand picking up. So it's impossible to give you percentage in terms of capacity utilization. But April, May were pretty much a washout for the technical textile business. There was some production in the fluorochemicals or the waste gases. June, we've seen pretty decent production levels in all of the technical textiles as well as some of the ref gases.
Okay. So is it fair to assume, sir, like your April and May largely were below 50% kind of utilization level both for technical textile and for the R-gas, and now how do you see the ramp up going forward? Are you seeing June is like back at the previous utilization level, June to June?
Again, as I said, Amar, June for technical textile business was much better. April and May, we were probably using more inventory and only doing some production. Because you have to understand, the tire manufacturers were shut. If they were shut, what will I do with the NTCF that I produce? Right? It was only add up to inventory.
Okay.
June, yes, we were pretty much back at let's say 80-85% utilization. Again, I am saying that we've seen a positive from that side. There has been the geopolitical issue with China where some of the imports are getting into long lead times, which is helping us. Also, you are aware that in early July or probably end of June, there was certain tires that were removed from the OGL list, which is aiding to domestic demand. And that should be a positive from the technical textile perspective. Again, as I said in the commentary, the fact is that Q1 is typically the best for the ref gas business. It's been a complete washout because of the auto as well as white goods. You know, AC production in the country has gone down very, very significantly. We believe H2 should be better for the ref gas business also as the international demand picks up.
Okay, and typically in R-gas, you have a large number of employees, so your fixed cost base would have been very high there.
I would not say we have a large number of employees, but yes, these are slightly more labor-intensive plants, and therefore, yes, the fixed costs are high.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Rohit Sinha from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for taking my question. See, earlier my line got dropped.
So most of the
please be a bit clearer. I am unable to hear you.
Hello. Just a second.
Yes, please.
Is it audible now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So earlier my line was actually got dropped, so I couldn't ask the question, but most of my questions are already answered. So just wanted one thing that since we are saying that this packaging segment, we have a better portion of value-added products, and this hygiene packaging thing demand is higher. So can we just understand which is the major segment or which is the major product, which is going in demand for this hygiene product or hygiene packaging things, right?
All of the packaging,
we should see this value-added thing going towards.
So all the packaging films go into two basic segments, food and consumer packaging and the home and personal care products. All of those are in the nature of hygienic packaging. Now, I don't understand the question, which product? There is no single product that I can talk about.
I'm talking about the industry, which industry basically would be focusing more, or where we are basically seeing the higher demand. The consumption basically where the value-added product has happened in this quarter.
Are you done?
Just on next thing, since as you were saying that, we know that Q1 FY, over every year Q1 is better for Argus business, and this was a complete washout quarter. So is it possible that some of that demand would be shifting to Q2 and Q2 would be, on a YoY basis would be a higher absolute number in terms of revenue?
So I'm not commenting on Q2 numbers as of now. I'm commenting on Q1 numbers. I have told you that as production normalizes, things should be better. Let's stay with that.
Okay. That's it for my side.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Next question is from Ankit Gore from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, Rahul.
Sorry to interrupt you. You're not audible. May I request you to speak a little louder, please?
Yeah, is it better now?
Little bit, sir.
Yeah. So, Rahul, my question with regards to SpecChem, if I remember correctly, at the end of FY19, we have once said that at full capacity, a SpecChem can generate about 2,000 crores of revenue. Correct me if I'm wrong there. And we were already at 1650 by FY20 end. So do you, just if you can give us some sense on what would be the capacity utilization, by FY20 at the end of FY20. And, when we can see some capacity addition here in this business.
Until FY19 was not a static picture. FY20, we've added more capacity. Even FY21, there is a 238 crore capex that we are doing today. There are multiple other capacity additions that are happening. So, the number of the 2000 crore at the end of FY18 was an estimate. I believe we have already given you the estimate for the FY21. Now, to that extent, there should be growth, and that 2000 crore number should pretty much be reachable.
Yeah, I agree to that. And can you give some sense on what sort of capacity utilization at a SpecChem side, if it is comfortable?
It is not possible to give you capacity utilization because there is no one single plant. Okay. It is not that I am operating a commodity plant where I can tell you this is the capacity utilization. There are about 5 or 6 multi-purpose plants and multiple dedicated plants that we have. It is impossible to give you capacity utilization. There is no benchmark of capacity utilization that we have ever given.
I agree to that. So let me ask the other way. At current gross block at SpecChem, what can be the optimum revenue we can generate? If you can answer that way.
Oh, see, again, we believe that the business, given its current asset base, can grow at a consistent 20-25% pace for the next
3 to 5 years. We'll keep investing in the business, and therefore we believe that the pipeline of products that we currently have are in, let's say, a nature where we will keep capitalizing more plants and keep investing more in the business. This should give us revenue visibility for the next 3 to 4 years.
Okay. Lastly, on a competitive side, you know, in last 6 to 8 months, we have seen one U.S. customer, you know, exited, while, you know, couple of European customers taken over by Indian companies, and one was kind of vacating the product profile within flooring business. How do you see that competition moving in, and how SRF is placed? I'm sure SRF is number one there in taking the larger pie. But, you know, for us, is there any opportunity for inorganic? That's one question, first question. And how do you see, you know, players ex-China are behaving in the fluorine CSM or CRAM side? Thanks.
I would say, Ankit, the fact is that there were certain consolidations that happened in the global chemical and the global agrochemical space. There was an impact that we felt in FY18-19 of the consolidation, and therefore the inventory cleanup that was happening. We believe that even the consolidation can gives us a larger opportunity, because more of these international innovators want to become aggregators than manufacturers. So we believe this will give us more opportunity in the future, and therefore we should be in good shape.
Okay, thank you, Rahul. Thanks for answering.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Kunal Mehta from Valam Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, can you just help us understand,
I'm able to hear you, please.
Louder. Am I clear right now? Am I audible properly? So we are working with the top three agrochemical players. They wanted to understand, is there any progress in adding new clients to the overall business, so that the share of the non-top three clients actually increases going forward?
In the specialty chemical business?
Yes.
Again, you could understand, the fact is that there are only 4 or 5 agrochemical majors in the world. Most of them are our clients. We are looking to add a couple of more customers. But again, we've said this not once, many times, that our products are, the concentration is not very significant, because to a single customer, we are supplying multiple products, and a single product in most cases being supplied to multiple customers as well. There is no, let's say, 20 different customers that we are looking to target today, because this is an industry which is already a bit concentrated.
Sure, sir. But if you are for competitors in manufacturing some of the products, you work with the Japanese guys. So are we trying to, so we definitely have a strong connect with the European and American innovators, but the Japanese customers are the ones where, are we trying to make efforts to make inroads there?
There are some efforts to tap into certain Japanese customers, but Japanese typically take more time.
Understood, sir. And the second question I have is on the overall margin, sir. Given the revenue base that we have reached in the specialty chemical business, and the visibility that we have regarding the brownfield capex, which we keep on doing for expanding capacity. So, sir, just two parts of this. So, would you expect that...
Could you be a bit slow, please, that you are asking the question?
Yeah. Okay. So, sir, given the base which we have reached in specialty chemicals, and the fact that we are adding more, we have the capacity to add more and more brownfield capex as we see the visibility. So when you see this business growing, Do you expect the new products to come in at higher margins so that is the question I wanted to understand. I wanted to understand whether incrementally how well the margins will behave once we increase turnover also, and the quality of turnover also. Do you see it improving in the next 3-4 years?
So, as I understood your question, you are saying, will the new products be coming in at a higher margin, and will the quality of revenue improve? I am not sure what you mean by quality of revenue. What I can tell you is, yes,
in the business, you will always have a position where new products are always at a higher margin. But over a period of time, what ends up happening is that margins become flat to low, but you are also able to improve your costs as you keep producing the product on a continued dedicated plant basis.
Understood, sir. That is what I was trying to understand. Yeah, that is very helpful, sir. Thank you very much. Yeah, all the best.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that will be the last question for today. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Jain for closing comments.
I hope I have been able to answer the questions that you have raised. If you have any further questions, we would be happy to be of assistance. We hope to have your valuable support on a continued basis as we move ahead. On behalf of the management, I once again thank you for taking the time to join us on this call. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line. Thank you.